Log Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place of you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and I want to thank my guest host, none other than missionary, evangelist missionary, Perry Rogers, who has been filling in for me for the last 2 weeks. She has done an outstanding job, and certainly you will be hearing her when I am not available to do my blog. It's a blessing to have somebody that will step in and help you and assist you with delivering the Word of God. And certainly I thank God for this vessel who said yes when I asked her to fill in. So that means that you can hear this blog every Saturday without missing a beat. Amen. Certainly God is in the blessing business. Now, I talk about my announcements and then we're going into this word. So registration is now open. Those of you that are interested in Amazing Grace School of Ministry, thank God I had two participants that graduated and received their certificates on last year. Well, registration is now open. So if you're interested, email me at amazinggraceministries@yahoo.com. And I kind of have abbreviated that. So it's my mistake, it's A-M-A-Z, GRACCMIN at yahoo.com. Again, registration is open. Email me if you're interested. Call me, text me, 309-750-7584, and we will give you the information. It is our endeavor to be up and running in the next 2 weeks. And, of course, the Lord has blessed us where we have classes on Blog Talk Radio. So you can stay in your home and you can listen to the lesson. Amen. Technology. God is using technology in this last and evil day. Thank God for that. I will be speaking at Redeeming Grace Church of God in Christ. The date has been moved back. Originally, I was speaking on the 17th, but we've moved it back to the 24th. At 4 p.m., the location is 11801 South Segerman. I would love to see you there. Excuse me. Come and hear a word from the Lord. Certainly the day was pushed back because of death in their family. And Mother Ease used to say, you know, death does not tell. It does not, it's not on anybody's schedule. But it happens, and certainly once it does happen, God gives us the strength to deal with our losses. So let's get into this series. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank each and every one of you that's on the line on this morning. We've got a good lesson going on. The theme for this month is God's power to help hurting people. Now, last week, we talked about standing in the day of adversity. Today, we're talking about identifying the pit. So let's get into the scripture, shall we? Genesis 37, verses 27 through 29, it reads, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content." And this is the King James Version. "Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they bought Joseph into Egypt." Verse 29. "And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes." Psalms 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not disturbed, nor yet not distressed. Sorry, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." We are definitely living in the last days. It seems like that God has turned his back on us. It seems like we are up for grabs. In the news every day, you see some form of natural disaster where so many have lost their lives. Or you look at the news and hear about some fatal shooting. This week is Rockford, and last week it was Joliet. And certainly the Bible says we're living in perilous times. The Bible speaks of the times that we're living in today. We're living in a time where people are victims of crimes and victims of natural disasters. We're living in a day where men are lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure more than they are of God. Yet, we do know who we can turn to. But I'm here to let you know that God is still in the healing business. We are talking about on today identifying those situations, last week we talked about standing in the day of adversity. We talked about what adversity is, how adversity comes to us. Now, we're dealing with God's power to help hurting people. And we are hurting people, the believers as well as the unbelievers, we are hurting. Things are coming in our homes. And like I said, we feel like God has forsaken us. We're doing like John the Baptist did when he was in prison. John knew that he was the forerunner for Jesus. And after Jesus came on the scene and he baptized Jesus, John went to prison. And when he was facing trouble or facing adversity, when he was thrown in the pit, he sent word back to Jesus. Now, I'm just paraphrasing it. I encourage you to read your Bibles and read the story. But he wanted to know, Jesus, are you really the one? And I thank God that Jesus really was the one. Hallelujah. Now, there's a song by Andre Crouch, and I've got some people that I know this masterpiece. It's called Through It All. It contains the truth, which is profound, and its implication, which is addressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. The first verse of this song says, I have many tears and sorrows. I have questions for tomorrow. Sometimes I don't know right from wrong. The author is describing situations, painful situations. I have had many tears and sorrows. Those are pains. Sadness and heartbreak means pain. I've had questions for tomorrow, uncertainties about serious situations brings pain. Sometimes I don't know right from wrong. Ethical and moral situations create tensions within the soul and spills over into spiritual chaos, and it causes pain. The author, Andre Crouch's song is talking about pain. But he does not stop there. He says, but. And we're going to talk about this but. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians also there is a but. In every situation, he goes on in the song to say that in every situation, God gave the blessed consolation. Your trials only come to make you strong. But let's talk about Paul just for a little bit, shall we? Now, one of Paul's favorite pastimes was sports, and he talks from this perspective. He says how we are compassed about, and he uses the word for the spectators in a sports arena surrounded by an oval racetrack, you know, Olympics. He says that seeing as how we are compassed about, we should run this race with patience. Again, he's using an athletic or sports language. He talks about pressing toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, like a long distance runner. Again, athletic and sports language. He says, I have fought the good fight like a gladiator. Hallelujah. I have finished my course like a track star. Now there is an oral wreath, a crown for me like the Olympics. Here Paul draws an exciting picture. First, he says that we are often troubled. We are troubled on every side, and the word he uses for troubles is thilibo, thilibo, thilibo. And it has its roots in the sport of wrestling. That means that it's close to home. The disturbance you are experiencing is not a long-distance disturbance. It's something that is right upon you. It's close. It's like wrestling. You can't wrestle unless you're close. There has got to be something that is touching you closely when you're wrestling. You have to keep your concentration at all times. Otherwise, you get thrown down on the mat. Paul is describing pain that is caused by something close to home, something or someone whom he is in close contact, a situation that causes him to concentrate. It's time-consuming, and quite a bit of time and energy are being spent. And again says that we are troubled. The libo on every side, wrestling. Think about that which is causing you trouble. It isn't someone way off or someone. It is someone or something that is close. If you're wrestling with it, it's up on you. You have constant contact with it. Paul says that is the first characteristic of that which causes him pain. Number two, Paul says that we are perplexed. The word Paul uses when he gets to perplex is aporeo. And aporeo, and that has its roots in the game of football. And that is spelled A. I want you to write those words down. Now, in Paul's day, it was soccer, but the football image means the same. The word means, number one, that there is a clear vision of where you can run because of opposing obstacles. Everywhere you turn, you can't see because there's obstacles. You are perplexed. And the Greek word for this is, again, aporeo. The third point I want to make, that Paul says that we are persecuted. The Bible says that we are persecuted. It translates this that there are many enemies. And the Greek word that is used is dioko. Dioko, which is spelled D-I-O-K-O, means to pursue, to press toward, to follow after, to be chased or to be pursued. In other words, when you are dioko, someone is hot on your trail. And the enemy is definitely hot on the believer's trail. They are right behind you for every step you take. You hear their footsteps. With your feet, your footsteps are a lockstep with your feet, and you can hear their breathing right on your back. You can always feel it right down to your neck. You can almost feel it right down to your neck. They are hot on your trail. They are deadly enemies intent on doing you seriously bodily harm. You can't slow up one bit or you're gone. And that's how the enemy is. He is right on the believer's trail. If you have made up in your mind that I'm going to follow after Jesus, and if you're serious about the task of wanting a relationship with Jesus, Satan is right on your tail. He's footstep to footstep with you. He is breathing down your neck. But the Bible tells me that I need to put on the armor of God. And when I put on the armor of God, certainly God gives me my weapons to fight. Hallelujah. We're identifying the pit because there are certain situations, there are problems that we're going through that God is grooming us for, that pit experience. Now, lastly, Paul also says that we are cast down. Here he uses another sport word for boxing. It's a word that means you are going down in a hurry. And that's what Satan thinks. He thinks that he's got us down for the count, but he's a lie. You've been stunned and caught out of the blue by a lightning punch, one you didn't see coming. When you're getting hit this last and evil days with so much adversity, it is coming in and out of your homes. It's hitting us like lightning punches that we're not aware of. We're getting hit from every side. So you're getting hit so hard, you seem like you're going down fast from blows that we're not prepared for. But Paul says that it is the pain is indescribable. We're getting hit so that the pain is just, it's indescribable. Troubles, he writes, on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. Oh, but. I told you there was a but. But is a divine conjunction. You know, when we were kids, the schoolhouse said conjunction, junction, what's your function? Hooking up words and phrases, and you know the song. But is a divine conjunction. And Paul just uses it like a master here in this phrase. But is a heavenly stop sign used on the road through God's word. Whatever you see the word but, you slow down. It means that God is somewhere around. But means that the hand of God is somewhere behind the scenes changing things. When you see but, you had better put the brakes on, because it means that the footsteps of God are somewhere to be seen. But is a conjunction that links two separate phrases together. However, it changes the meaning of the second phrase, and God likes to do that throughout his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Come on, here's a but have everlasting life, John 3:16. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1:11-12. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he called, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." John 11:4. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:5. So let's identify the pit. One of the things you have to remember in your struggle is that when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Also, every event in your life has been ordained by God and will contribute to your palace experience. Think about Joseph. If his brothers never threw him into the pit, if the Midianites who took him to Egypt missed him and were a half a mile off their course, Joseph never would have been sold to Potiphar's house. Suppose Potiphar's wife had not made a play for him. He never would have been put in prison, and he never would have met the chief butler who recommended him to Pharaoh. He never would have been called to the palace where he was instrumental in saving his family and the whole known world from starvation. Your life may take some strange twists and turns, but the one who holds your tomorrow is in control. You will arrive at your palace experience. Everything was created by him, for him, by him, all things consistent. Colossians 1, verses 16 through 18. In your pit experience, please remember that the pit is not your final destination. Again, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something. Remember that a rubber band is not unusable until it's stretched. A tea kettle sounds best when it's up to its neck in hot water, and a wheelbarrow doesn't work unless it's pushed. Please remember these other things while you're in the pit. The pit is not your potential. Don't get accustomed to it. If you are in a pit, you are next in line for promotion, the one Joseph won from the prison to the palace in one day. Daniel went from the lion's den to the promotion in one day. David went from a warrior to taking over Saul's palace. You may not like where you are, but it could change in one day, and today could be the day. This should be your attitude. Losers focus on what they are going through. Champions focus on where they are going to. There is no victory without a battle, no sunshine without midday, and no tunnel without light at the end. Your reaction to others in a pit determines God's reaction to you in your pit. Help someone else. Those that control the pain of the now don't control the pleasure of the future. Your enemies will come trying to bind you, Isaiah 6 and 4, but God is still controlled. Hallelujah. God has you surrounded, and God will bring you out. We talked about the day of adversity, about having faith. Hebrews 11. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, knowing that God is right by our side. He never will forsake us. He never will leave us. He's there to keep us. He's there to see us through. There's no problems. There's no situation where God cannot deliver us. 6, when in the pit, Satan may use the closest person to hurt you. There were those that were close to Paul that hurt him. Certainly, we could look at Judas who hurt Jesus. 7, you can never win a spiritual battle logically. God stripped Joseph of everything to get him to the palace. I'm sure that he couldn't understand why. We don't understand why we're going through adversity. We don't understand why we're going through the pit. You know, Job said, God, why me? But God said, why not you? We talked about on last week that those adversities are there to make us strong, that they are there to equip us. They are there to get us to the palace. They are there to get us where God wants us to be. So don't make a pit of offense. Don't be offended. It can open the door for the devil. Now, I talked about forgiveness a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about forgiveness, forgiving others, because unforgiveness creates bitterness, resentment. And when you're in the pit and you think somebody has offended you, you begin to be resentful, then God can't deliver you. God can't move you where he needs you because you're stuck emotionally. God's favor was strong on Joseph. Everywhere he was, the word said that God was with him. In the pit, in Potiphar's house, in prison, in the palace, God's favor is such a strong force, it causes the sun to stand still. It causes God's people to win at impossible odds. Ruth was left so much grain from Boaz that she never had to gather herself. The grain probably lasted for months. God's favor on your life is not dependent upon circumstances, and it's so powerful that it can bring you out of the pit you are in and transform you into greatness for Christ. However, God will not do something great in your life unless you are desperate. Greatness is conceived in the womb of obedience. Just to be obedient in the circumstances that you are in to the Spirit of God, and he will place you in the palace. God ultimately wants to give you your houses, give you homes, give you houses you don't have to build, land you've never seen, and cover you all over with his favor. Don't give up on your dream. Hallelujah. So David said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Psalms 30 and 5. Andre Crouch said, I have had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. Sometimes I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave his consolation. Isaiah said what? Even the young man shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall ultimately fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, everybody knows that, Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. They start at the 28th verse. This word, but, I tell you, is a divine conjunction. It is heaven's highway sign of the holy actions taking place somewhere nearby. Paul says, yes, there's pain, but there's also God's power. Yes, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. Yes, we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Yes, there are enemies. Yes, we are persecuted, but we're never without a friend. We are never forsaken. And yes, we are not down. We're never knocked down. Hallelujah. We are stunned, but we are not stopped. We are damaged, but we are not destroyed. Why? Because this power that I'm talking about is God's power. His power gives power to the faint and them that has no might. He increases strength. So, remember in the life of Joseph, the trials will come, that God controls every event in your life. That everything you are going through is leading to the palace. And don't give up on your dreams, because God never will. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for everyone on the line today. I pray, God, that a word was spoken that will give life. We bind the enemy. We bind Satan that will come, kill, steal, and destroy. We pray even now that each one on this blog, Father God, will be blessed abundantly. Allow this word to shine forth in their lives. Let them receive something, Holy Spirit, that has touched their hearts and their minds. Encourage them, Father God. You said that your word will never come back void. And we're speaking your word to the masses. We're giving you glory and power to rightly rule and lead us. God, you know the pits that we're in. But Father God, we understand that this pit, the situation that we're going through, is not unto death, but is there to give life, and that more abundantly. And we magnify you and we praise you and we give you the glory because you're seeing us through. And we thank you, God. So bless. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. In Jesus' name, we speak those things that is not as though they are. We declare the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, whatever the situation is, God understands your pain. He sees you. He hasn't forsaken you. And this world is sinful. And as long as this world, as the enemy, as Satan is ruler in this world, we're going to have problems. We're going to have situations because Satan wants to turn back the saints of God. He wants to make us stumble. He wants to make us stop. He wants to make us take our eyes off God. So the pit that you're in, the situation that you're in, remember that God is using that for his glory. It may be tearful. It may be storm. It may be a struggle. But understand that God is doing something in your life. He's doing something miraculous. He's doing something in your life to get you to the place where God wants you. So remember that. Now, I want you to send me a text. We've got two more weeks in this month, and we're talking about God's hurting people. I want to thank each and every one that's on the line today. If there's something that you say, Dr. Carey, I need to address, whether it's guilt, whether it's insecurities, whether it's low self-esteem, whether it's grief, whether it's powerlessness, whether it's anxiety, whether it's fear, abandonment, frustration, depression, anger, loneliness, I want you to send me a text and say, Dr. Carey, I need you to address this on the blog. Because people are hurting. People are suffering. But God is there with us. He didn't say that we wouldn't go through, but he said that we would. He would be with us. So I want to address trauma. I want to address any situations that you find or may find yourself in, and you say, I can't seem to get over this pain. Because God is there to heal you. God is there to deliver you. God is there certainly to set you free because he loves you just that much. So give me a call, 309-750-7584, and say, Dr. Carey, I don't understand this is or this is what I need to cover. Because we are helpers one to another, and I want you to be strong in the Lord, and I want to let you know and let you know to identify the pit, because that pit that you may be in right now is leading you to a stronger, more faithful, and to the palace where God has ordained you to be. In order to go higher and higher with the Lord, we're going to go through something. We're going to go through problems and situations. Because then we can look back over the past and say, God brought us through. And what God has brought us through, he's prepared us for, and he certainly won't leave us. And he certainly has not forsaken us. And he's there with us. And he's going to see us. And I know he's going to see me through. So that being said, I want to say this. Thank each and every one of you that's on the line today. And I pray that you tune in on next week for another lesson in this series about God's healing power to help hurting people. So, again, I want to say goodbye. Love you all. And, again, I want to say thank you to evangelist, missionary, Terry Rogers, who has been tuning in for Dr. Carey, tuning in for myself for the last 2 weeks. And you will hear again. Be blessed. I see you on next week. Bye-bye.